बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
So last time we discussed the second canto. So this time I have been asked to speak on teachings of Lord Kapila. So I had a very embarrassing introduction to Kapila Dev when I had joined BT or Brahmachari training, what you call here as PDC. So His Grace Gaurang Prabhu used to regularly take classes for us every day almost, and I had just joined and I didn't have any VTA training, so I didn't have much exposure to books. To some extent we had just started studying Bhagavad Gita, so lot of it was quite new to me. So Prabhuji in one of his class was quoting a verse by Kapila Dev, and till then I had heard of only one Kapila Dev. So when Prabhuji said so Kapila Dev says, and then I really thought he was cracking a joke, so I started laughing out loud, and no one else was laughing. The class stopped right there and everyone was shocked, because apparently no one else I thought apparently no one else understood the joke. And Gaurang Prabhu himself was shocked, and he asked me, why did you laugh? I said, because you said Kapila Dev said. And then they said, hey, there is one more Kapila Dev also. So it was so embarrassing. And somehow last 2 years or so I have been teaching this section. So inspiring. Actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentions, he tells his Gaudium at Brahmacharis that two or three sections of Bhagavatam are like very important for all Gaudium at devotees to study very thoroughly. One, he said, is Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. And second, he said, mentions Kapila Dev's teachings, Kapila Dev's Sankhya. And one more, I don't exactly recollect. But a very, very important section. If whenever acharyas try to establish Siddhanta, invariably they quote most of the verses from Uddhava Gita and quite a lot of verses from Kapila Dev's teachings also. And when it comes to discussion on rasa, then it's invariably the 10th canto. So almost like 70-80% of the quotations by acharyas are from either 11th canto or 3rd canto or 10th canto. So very important section of Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's try to go through this. So I just wanted to start by Prabhupada in Juhu. He gave a series of lectures in teachings of Lord Kapila, which has been compiled into a book. So that's just a more or less a transcription of those lectures that he gave on this chapter, 25th chapter, The Glories of Devotional Service. And His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj, he writes a foreword or introduction to this book. And I just took a few points from the introduction to understand, you know, what exactly is this Sankhya. He says, Sankhya deals with the elemental categories or principles of the physical universe. Sankhya is what the Western scholars generally refer to as metaphysics. So metaphysics means that which talks about things which are not so gross. And another meaning of Sankhya, he says, is the term Sankhya literally means to count, as in Sankhya. So Sankhya means to count. This name is used because Sankhya philosophy enumerates the principles of cosmic evolution by rational analysis. So what are the various elements that constitute this material universe? Because matter means, as we understand, matter is not homogeneously matter. It has lot of variety, and it has variety in terms of gross to subtle also. So therefore, when we say we are not this body, unless we clearly understand what exactly is body, in both what are the constituents of body, what are their symptoms, clearly it is, how can we be so sure of mentioning that we are not this body, we are the soul? Because even modern psychologists, they very much mix up mind, intelligence and soul and false ego. It's not so difficult when it comes to the gross elements, but when it comes to subtle, it becomes quite difficult to understand. So even in our day-to-day dealings, when we address each other or when we respond to any kind of stimulus, our response is mostly on the platform of body only. So that's okay. That's because we have been, it has been a very long time, many, many lifetimes since we have been acting on that platform. But even from a theoretical point of view, when actually probed, we may sort of start confusing between the subtle elements and the soul. It's quite possible. When we go over the 26th chapter of this third canto, these elements have been described by Kapila Dev according to their functionality. What is their function? And it's very, very clear cut. There is no, it's not a hazy presentation. It's a very clear cut presentation. So when we understand this clearly, then we can be sure as to functionally what is the role of mind, functionally what is the role of intelligence, functionally what is the role of chitta, because sometimes they say chitta is soul or soul is chitta. You know, many such improper understandings are there. But here in this section, very clearly, at least in one of the chapters, 26th chapter, Kapila Dev very clearly establishes all these elements according to their functionality. And he also talks about the soul, and it becomes very clear as to functionally. So at least that sets up a very clear theoretical understanding, at least. Because ultimately, realization, only our understanding matures into realization. So if the understanding is not firmly, or if it's not correct, then our realization would also be improper. So therefore, what Kapila Dev is going to speak here is not like it's something which is relevant for the Jnana Yogis or Ashtanga Yogis to meditate upon. But this is more of a foundation for devotees also. Because even Bhagavad Gita starts with Sankhya. Ashochyan anvashochastvam pragyavadamscha bhashase gatasuna gatasumscha nanushochanti pandita. So that's starting from there. The first section of Bhagavad Gita, or second chapter, talks about the difference between body and soul. But that's more or less like a very basic presentation. But Kapila Dev takes it and makes it little more clear and elaborate. So that's one thing about Sankhya. The etymological meaning of the word Sankhya is that which explains very lucidly by analysis of material elements. So Samyak Kyayate iti Sankhya. Sankhya means that which very clearly and lucidly presents. Okay. So by analysis of material elements. Philosophically, this term is used because the Sankhya system expounds the analytical knowledge that enables one to distinguish between matter and spirit. So one who understands that very clearly would never misunderstand the soul with any of material elements, including the subtle elements like mind, intelligence, false ego, chitta, etc. And the purpose of establishing this Sankhya is to establish bhakti. Okay, this we will see. That is the purpose of Sankhya. At least that is the purpose of Kapila Dev's Sankhya. He actually talks about Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. But then all of it is for the purpose of very systematically establishing how the process of bhakti is superior to all these other practices. Because it is mentioned in the second canto also that Parikshit Maharaj also asks various questions which are apparently not, seemingly not so relevant to pure devotees or practitioners of pure devotional service. So there Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Parikshit Maharaj understood that not all the people who had assembled there were pure devotees. They had a wide range of qualifications. So even though Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee, Sukadeva Goswami was a pure devotee, he could have presented only teachings of pure devotion, but that's not what Sukadeva Goswami does. He speaks about a variety of other paths also, because otherwise the other people sitting there would not feel it relevant, because their Shraddha is not yet on the pure devotional path. So therefore in the initial section, second canto, third canto, right when Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking, he speaks about all these various paths so that the other people also stay connected. Because ultimately, if people do not get engaged according to their qualification, they will get spaced out. So therefore, there must be engagement according to their qualification. At the same time, there must be an opportunity to elevate their qualification. So therefore, the engagement according to their qualification is when they hear about what they are qualified for. Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, etc. So they say, they think, they understand that, okay, there is something in it for me also. I can stay for some more time. And because such topics are delivered by a pure devotee like Sukadeva Goswami, their Sukriti count also keeps increasing. Because they develop an appreciation towards a pure devotee. So very soon, but imperceptibly, they are also making a progress. So there is an opportunity to engage. Here the engagement is hearing. There is an opportunity to engage according to their qualification, and at the same time there is a facility to raise their qualification also. So that's exactly what's happening here. So, and if you see in this section, Kapila Dev's teachings, Kapila Dev gives a very neutral presentation. He presents things as they are. So in the 27th chapter, when we will be, when he will be speaking about Jnana Yoga, Mother Devahuti raises a issue. I don't think what you have spoken is so easy. It may, I don't think just by reflecting on the nature of body and soul, a person becomes ready for liberation. So Kapila Dev again very patiently elaborates on the path of Jnana Yoga very clearly, and he says, if you practice it according to what I have presented here, definitely you will get liberation. He doesn't say liberation is possible only by pure devotional service. Even though that's exactly what he wants to recommend for his mother. But he gives a very neutral presentation. Yeah, when practiced this way, this practice is capable of giving liberation. But eventually he establishes that it's not so easy. The practice of bhakti is much more easier, and then he explains the path of bhakti also. So that way, people who have shraddha in these other paths, when they hear a neutral presentation, they become very favorable. Right from the word go, if they sense bias, then they will leave. And Kapila Dev doesn't do that. Very systematic presentation, culminating in bhakti. So we also get an opportunity to understand the real practice of Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, etc. as given in our Vedic scriptures. Otherwise, we most often than not, we have a very biased understanding of these paths also. Okay. So therefore, it's very important. And in the whole of Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev dedicates, or Sukadeva Goswami dedicates, hardly 3-4 chapters to explain these paths, which is good enough for us to understand to get a very good understanding of what these paths are. Not to practice, but at least understand clearly what these paths are. Because many times we don't even find them relevant in our practice at all. Or if we don't find them relevant in our practice, it's okay. But most of the time, we think that it's not relevant for anyone. And this is a problem, because one of the 10 offenses is Shruti Shastra Ninda, the fourth offense. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures. We might wonder, as devotees, we would never do it. Okay, but in Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur clarifies that devotees are actually capable of doing it, and then he explains. Devotees would never blaspheme the bhakti scriptures. Never you will find any devotee blaspheming Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, etc. Never. But when it comes to Karmakandiya scriptures or Jnanakandiya scriptures, we tend to have a very, sometimes a fanatic viewpoint that Vedas, Krishna says Traigunya Vishaya Veda, or Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Tayapahruta Chetasam, demigod worship, Krishna says it's for fools. He does say. But then we get a very biased understanding. So when Krishna speaks those verses, it's meant for devotees who tend to have such inclinations. It is not for demigod worshippers. For demigod worshippers, he says, parasparam bhavayanta shreya paramavapsyata. You both cooperate with each other and you will get, you will get prosperity. Both of you will be happy. That's meant for them. So, as devotees, we tend to have a very biased understanding of Vedic scriptures. So when it comes to non-bhakti scriptures, not only do we think that it's not relevant for us, but we tend to make it a universal thing, that it's not relevant for anyone, which is not true. So therefore, he sort of very clearly, you know, when he talks about these 10 offenses, he explains each one of those offenses very clearly as to what it really means. So, we tend to understand that this Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, you know, it's not relevant at all. That is Shruti Shastra Ninda. Because Krishna only has, it is not that only the bhakti sections of the Vedas are apaurusheya. The Karmakandiya sections are also apaurusheya. And they are pure. Relevant for some sections of people. To think that they are absolutely irrelevant for anyone is actually Shruti Shastra Ninda. And which, as devotees, many times we are prone to commit such, at least if not verbally, at least in our minds we might tend to think that way. So, therefore, and another thing that Srila Satswarup Das Goswami Maharaj mentions here, that it may be said therefore that Sankhya and Bhakti form two aspects of the same process. Bhakti being the ultimate goal or the ultimate aspect of Sankhya. So Sankhya is like the foundation. And then you build upon it the principles of Bhakti. Because with bodily identification, to start with, this is like the Sambandhagyan, basic Sambandhagyan, upon which further the Prayojan and Abhideya, you know, you can build a superstructure. And Krishna mentions the same thing in Bhagavad Gita also. Sankhya Yogau Pritak Balaha Pravadanti Na Panditaha Ekamapi Astita Samyak Ubayor Vindate Phalam. Sankhya Yogau Pritak. One who thinks that this Sankhya and Bhakti are different, Pravadanti, and they preach it also, Na Panditaha, they are not intelligent. Ekamapi Astita Samyak Ubayor Vindate Phalam. Even if one applies himself properly to one of these processes, achieves the goal of both. Then he says, Yat Sankhyaihi Prapyate Sthanam Tad Yogairapi Gamyate. Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yappashyati Sapashyati. He says that, Yat Sankhyaihi Prapyate Sthanam, whatever destination can be achieved by practice of Sankhya, Tad Yogairapi Gamyate, that can be achieved by practice of Bhakti also. Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha Yappashyati Sapashyati. One who understands that Sankhya and Bhakti are non-different is one who has properly understood. And we might not really think about it much, but if you read Kapiladev's Sankhya, it's very clear. There is no actual difference between Sankhya and Bhakti. It culminates in Bhakti. Starts out with Sankhya. Sankhya is just like a rung of the ladder. And it takes you to the lotus feet of Krishna. And interesting verse, you all would have noticed. Kapiladev, when Kardam Muni speaks to Kapiladev, he says about the appearance of Kapiladev, Sviyam Vakyam Ritam Kartum Avatirnosi Megrihe Chikirshur Bhagavan Jnanam Bhaktana Manavardana. He says, you the Supreme Lord, desiring to give a method of knowledge, Jnanam Chikirshur. The purpose of appearance is to give jnana. But what happens by receiving that jnana? Bhaktana Manavardana. The honor of the devotees are increased. This seems little interesting. If he has come to give knowledge, then it must be Jnanina Manavardana. Then why is it mentioned here that Bhaktana Manavardana? So where Kardam Muni also very clearly indicate what is the nature of knowledge that Kapiladev is going to give. In terms of what is going to be the fruit of that knowledge. People who accept that knowledge, what are they going to become? Devotees. That's why it is mentioned, భక్తానాం మానవర్ధన. హౌ డస్ కర్దమ్ ముని నో? బికాస్ బ్రహ్మాజీ హెడ్ ప్రెడిక్టెడ్, ద లార్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ సెడ్ దట్ ఐ విల్ అపియర్ యాజ్ యువర్ సన్, బీయింగ్ వెరీ ప్లీజ్డ్ విత్ కర్దమ్ మునీస్ డివోషనల్ ఆస్టెరిటీస్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కమెంటింగ్ ఆన్ దిస్ వర్స్ హీ సేస్, బై డిస్ట్రిబ్యూటింగ్ సాంఖ్య హీ వుడ్ ఇన్క్రీజ్, హీ ఇస్ కపిలదేవ్, కపిలదేవ్ వుడ్ ఇన్క్రీజ్ ది ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ ద డివోటీస్. దేర్ఫోర్ సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ ఈస్ నాట్ డ్రై మెంటల్ స్పెక్యులేషన్. సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ మీన్స్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. హౌ కుడ్ ది ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీస్ బి ఇన్క్రీజ్డ్ అన్లెస్ సాంఖ్య వర్ మెంట్ ఫార్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్? డివోటీస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ స్పెక్యులేటివ్ నాలెడ్జ్. దేర్ఫోర్ ద సాంఖ్య ఎనన్షియేటెడ్ బై కపిల ముని ఇస్ మెంట్ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ వన్ ఫర్మ్లీ ఇన్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ సాంఖ్య. సో విల్ ట్రై టు సీ కంటిన్యూ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ వి లెఫ్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ 24th చాప్టర్ వేర్ కర్దమ్ ముని హ్యాస్ రినౌన్స్డ్. నౌ మదర్ దేవహూతి ఈజ్ స్టేయింగ్ విత్ అవర్ సన్ కపిల్ దేవ్. సో దట్స్ వేర్ ది స్టోరీ బిగిన్స్ హియర్. శౌనక ఉవాచ, కపిలస్తత్వ సంఖ్యాత భగవాన్ ఆత్మమాయయా జాతస్వయం అజస్ సాక్షాద్ ఆత్మ ప్రజ్ఞాప్తయే నృణాం. సో శౌనక ఋషి సేస్, భగవాన్ కపిల, ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కపిల, అన్బార్న్ అజహ, ఈవన్ దో హీస్ అపియర్డ్ అస్ ద సన్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ దేవహూతి, బట్ ఈస్ అన్బార్న్, మీనింగ్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ ఫోర్స్ టు టేక్ బర్త్ అకార్డింగ్ టు హిస్ ఓన్ కర్మాస్, జస్ట్ లైక్ అనదర్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్. తత్వ సంఖ్యాత, హూ ఎనిమరేటెడ్ ద ఎలిమెంట్స్? సో శౌనకాది రిషీస్ ఆర్ ప్రోబింగ్ సుత గోస్వామి టు స్పీక్ ఫర్దర్. ఆత్మమాయయా జాత స్వయం, హీ అపియర్డ్ బై హిస్ ఓన్ ఎనర్జీ, యాజ్ కృష్ణ సేస్ సంభవామి ఆత్మమాయయా అజోపి సన్ నవ్యయాత్మ భూతానామీశ్వరోపి సన్. ప్రకృతిం స్వామధిష్టాయ సంభవామి ఆత్మమాయయా. సో ఆత్మమాయయా బై హిస్ ఇంటర్నల్ ఎనర్జీ హియర్, దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్. అదర్వైజ్ అదర్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో బార్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మమాయయా, బట్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఎనర్జీ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ఎనర్జీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ. స్వయం జాత, స్వయం హియర్ ఇండికేట్స్ ఇండిపెండెన్స్ బై హిస్ స్వీట్ విల్. బట్ వెన్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఆర్ బాండ్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ బాండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ ఓన్ స్వీట్ విల్, దే ఆర్ ఫోర్స్ టు టేక్ బర్త్ అకార్డింగ్ టు దేర్ కర్మ. ఆత్మ ప్రజ్ఞాప్తయే నృణాం, టు గివ్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్ టు మ్యాన్ కైండ్. యాక్చువల్లీ మైత్రేయ హ్యాడ్ asked, sorry, Vidura had requested Maitreya to speak about the genealogical line of Swayambhuva Manu sometime in the 5th-6th chapter, as soon as he hears about the creation of Brahmaji, and that's what is going on till now. Swayambhuva Manu had 2 sons and 3 daughters, ఆకూతి, దేవహూతి అండ్ ప్రసూతి, అండ్ ఉత్తానపాద్ అండ్ ప్రియవ్రత్ మహారాజ్. సో ది డాటర్స్ లీనియేజ్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. సో ఐడియలీ హియర్ విత్ ది అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కపిల దేవ్ ద లైన్ స్టాప్స్ దేర్, ఇట్ డజంట్ గో ఫార్వర్డ్. సో ఐడియలీ నౌ మైత్రేయ వుడ్ హవ్ begun speaking about the line of Uttanapad or the other 2 daughters, Akuti and Prasuti. Akuti marries Ruchi, sage Ruchi, and so on. He would have started, but here Shaunakadi rishis are expressing their interest in hearing about the conversation that happened between Mother Devahuti and Kapila Dev, because they have heard so much about it. They want to know what exactly was discussed between Mother Devahuti and Kapila Dev. So they are expressing this interest to Suta Goswami to inspire him to speak on this subject matter. So another detour that's going to happen, which is not really the genealogical line, but it's just teachings of Lord Kapila to Mother Devahuti, and this will go on for the next 9 chapters. And then the genealogical line will continue from the first chapter of fourth canto. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the word Atma Pragyaptaye indicates that the Lord descends for the benefit of the human race to give transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge here means bhakti only. Kunti Maharani also says, Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bihi shravana smarana arhani karishyeti kechana. The real purpose of Krishna's descent or the Supreme Lord's descent is to establish the process of bhakti. Shravana smarana arhani karishyeti kechana. In order to make people perform this path of bhakti, which is characterized by shravanam, kirtanam, archanam, etc. Material necessities are quite sufficiently provided for in the Vedic knowledge, which offers a program for good living conditions and gradual elevation to the platform of goodness, dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And later Prabhupada says, but that's not the highest offering of the Vedic scriptures. Shaunaka Muni also states here that Kapila, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, took birth or appeared simply to appreciate and disseminate transcendental knowledge. Simply to understand that one is not matter but spirit soul. Is not sufficient knowledge for understanding the self and its activities. One must be situated in the activities of Brahman. Knowledge of those activities is explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Such transcendental knowledge can be appreciated in human society, but not in animal society. Nirnam, he is commenting on this. It's relevant only for human beings. But it's very much relevant for human beings. So they have to take up to this process like that. So they are, the next few verses, Shaunakadi Rishis will try to inspire Suta Goswami to speak further on the subject matter of the discussion between Mother Devahuti and Kapila Dev. Nahiyasya varshmana pumsam varim nasarva yoginam vishrutau shruta devasya bhuri tripyanti me savaha shruta devasya. So they are telling, we really derive lot of pleasure in hearing. Nahi bhuri tripyanti me asavaha, and my senses can never be fully satisfied. Asya vishrutau, with topics about the form of Kapila Dev. Who is this Kapila Dev? Pumsam Varshmanaha. Pumsam here refers to the Purushavataras. Varshmanaha. He is superior or the greatest amongst all great personalities, including the Purushavataras. Varimna Sarva Yoginam. And he is the greatest amongst the great yogis such as Dattatreya. So he's very, very exalted personality. We know who he is. So therefore, we are really interested in knowing what he spoke. Nahi bhuri tripyanti me asavaha. Our senses can never be satisfied. It is said that there are 3 causes of dissatisfaction when we receive something. First is, the object that is received in itself is inherently has no capacity to satisfy. So how much ever you take, one feels dissatisfaction. The second reason is, the object is capable of satisfying, but we really do not know how to use it to derive satisfaction. Like someone gives a jackfruit, and he says, this is the best jackfruit you can ever get in this whole world. This is all for you. Please enjoy. And if one starts biting that jackfruit from outside, He is, what to speak of getting satisfaction, he will be in misery. Because he doesn't know how to access the satisfaction from that particular thing. Even though the object itself may be capable of giving satisfaction. Okay. And the third reason why one can stay dissatisfied is the object is so amazing that how much ever one takes, you know, one feels that, you know, I want some more. So here Shaunakadi Rishis are mentioning to Suta Goswami that our senses can never be satisfied, not because they don't know how to relish Krishna Katha, or not because they don't know how to derive satisfaction out of Krishna Katha, and also not because discussions about Kapila Dev is a mundane topic which has inherently no ability to give satisfaction. But it's for the third reason, that it is so wonderful that how much ever you speak on the subject matter, we can never be sufficiently satisfied. That's the reason why they inspire Suta Goswami to speak about these topics of discussion between Kapila Dev and Mother Devahuti. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, anyone who is associated with the Supreme Lord is accepted as a first class yogi. Devotees may not be as powerful as the Supreme Lord, but by constant association with the Lord, they become as good as the Lord himself. Sometimes the devotees act more powerfully than the Lord. Of course, that is the Lord's concession. Like if anyone has heard Ramayana, the greatest show of valor was not by Lord Ram. It was by Hanumanji. I mean, anyone would say that, you know, Hanumanji could have destroyed Lanka single-handedly. Okay. But if you see the pastime, from the pastime point of view, even Lord Ram had to take help of so many monkey soldiers to even construct the bridge, cross it, then, you know, fight. And in doing that, it was not a very straightforward victory. You know, it was like quite a tough match. Okay. So, Prabhupada says that, but sometimes the devotees act more powerfully than the Lord. Of course, that is the Lord's concession. To hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore, he is known as Govinda. For by his words, by his teachings, by his instruction, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform, and his instructions being absolute are non-different from him. Because now we are going to read about his instructions in the form of Kapila Dev. Hearing from Krishna or his expansion or plenary expansion like Kapila is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it, and each time he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of transcendental message. That's why it's always, you know, you always don't feel satiated because of the nature of the subject matter. Similarly, we find that transcendental happiness in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. Like that. So then, Shaunakadi Rishis continue. They are trying to inspire Suta Goswami. They say, Yadyad vidatte bhagavan swachandatmatma mayaya tanime shraddha dhanasya kirtanyanyanukirtaya. Me anukirtaya, please describe to me. Anukirtaya could also mean please describe as you have heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Why? Shraddha Danasya. Because we are full of faith. Tani, all of the activities of the Lord. Kirtanyani, which are worthy of glorification. Yadyad vidatte swachandatma Bhagavan. Whatever the independent Lord Kapiladev performed, please speak to us about all of that. Atma mayaya. And all those activities we know were performed by his internal energy and not external energy. So therefore, please speak as you have heard. And here Srila Prabhupada mentions, the word anukirtaya is very significant. Anukirtaya means to follow the description and not to create a concocted mental description, but to follow. Shaunaka Rishi requested Suta Goswami to describe what he had actually heard from his spiritual master Shukadeva Goswami about the transcendental pastimes the Lord manifested by his internal energy. Same thing actually Suta Goswami actually has already assured Shaunakadi Rishis that the subject matter of my presentation would be whatever I have heard and assimilated from what I have heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Soham vah shravayishyami yataditam yatamati, he says. Yataditam yatamati. As I have learned from him and as I have realized it, to that extent I will present. So that's what we are going to see now. So Suta Goswami now continues. Suta uvacha dvaipayanasakastvevam maitreyo bhagavamstata prahedam viduram prita anvikshikyam prachoditah. So he says, maitreyo bhagavan. Maitreya is also addressed as Bhagavan here. In the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami is addressed again by Suta Goswami as Bhagavan, Vayasakischa Bhagavan, he says. So, it is, and Srila Vishnu Jagadagur quotes from Vishnu Puran, Parashar Muni has given two definitions of Bhagavan in Vishnu Puran. One is the common definition that we all know. Aishwaryasya samagrascha viryascha yashashriya. We know that definition about how the possessor of the six opulences in full, that is Bhagavan. He can be called as Bhagavan. Another not so well known explanation of Bhagavan that Parashar Muni gives, he says, is that under what circumstances a jivatma can be addressed as Bhagavan. So he mentions about that also. So he says, that person who is well versed in the subject matter of matter and soul, about the creation, maintenance and destruction of this material universe, and who knows clearly what is true knowledge and what is ignorance. One who is very clear in the understanding of these subject matters, he can also be addressed as Bhagavan. This is the explanation given by Parashar Muni in his Vishnu Puran. And if a person possesses these qualities, then even though he may be a Jiva Tattva, he can be addressed as Bhagavan. So therefore here, Suta Goswami is addressing Maitreya as Bhagavan. Maitreyo Bhagavan, Dvaipayana Saka, the friend of Vyasadev. He also had very good association. Prachoditaha Prita. He was actually very pleased on being questioned on these subject matters. He was not getting, he said, you asked about the genealogical line of Swayambhu Manu. Let me complete it. Why you are asking so many questions in between? Probing. And then I will just totally forget, the thread. He's not mentioning like that. Okay. He was very pleased to hear this eagerness from Maitreya, which means at this point of discussion, actually Maitreya also, Vidura also had inquired from Maitreya to speak about the subject matter. So which means the hearers and the speakers were in sync in all these various levels of discussion. You see, Suta Goswami and Shaunakada Rishis, Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, and Maitreya and Vidura. So exactly at a point when they get a desire to hear about a new subject matter, the person in the above also, in the other conversation also, the hearer got the same similar interest. Like for example, we saw in the end of second canto, when who was mentioning? When Shukadeva Goswami said, now let me speak about Padmakalpa, and Suta Goswami was narrating it to Shaunakada Rishis. So at that point of time, Shaunakada Rishis said, Padmakalpa can wait. We want to hear about the conversation that happened between Maitreya and Vidura. And then Suta Goswami says, how wonderful. Parikshit Maharaj also asked the same question. He also expressed a desire to hear about the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. Okay. So which means in sincere hearers and speakers, I think there is some krama. If when heard sincerely and when delivered sincerely, definitely it invokes particular kinds of emotions and particular kinds of jigyasa also. So here also same thing. So it could have happened that Vidura never had such a jigyasa, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami would have probably not narrated it to Parikshit Maharaj. Probably Parikshit Maharaj did not have such a jigyasa. Therefore Shukadeva Goswami would not have narrated, even though Maitreya and Vidura would have discussed. But apparently all three of them had the jigyasa. That's why even Suta Goswami is narrating it too. And this is a question asked by Shaunakada Rishis. He didn't say that at this point of time Parikshit Maharaj asked the question. Shaunakada Rishis are asking. Okay. And Maitreya and Vidura had asked Maitreya only the genealogical line. So what is the chance? So therefore Shaunakada Rishis had no idea whether this whole 9 chapters were discussed or not. He could have stuck to the genealogical line, but they got this. Many times we see this, and I find it very interesting. So which means that when spoken in the right mood and right krama, it certainly instigates a particular kind of jigyasa when presented in the right way. And of course, so that's what they are requesting here. Shaunakada Rishis, Suta Goswami is mentioning that prachoditaha preeta, which means apparently Vidura had also inquired Maitreya, how did what was discussed between Kapila and Mother Devahuti? Praha idam viduram preeta anvikshikyam prachoditaha, like that. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport here. Prabhupada says, questions and answers are very satisfactorily dealt with when the inquirer is bona fide and the speaker is also authorized. Later Prabhupada says, Maitreya was very pleased with the inquiries of Vidura because they were inquiries of a bona fide advanced devotee. Thus, Maitreya was encouraged to answer. Preetaha, he was very pleased. When there are discourses on the transcendental topics between devotees of equal mentality, the questions and answers are very fruitful and encouraging. Devotees of equal mentality. So that's also very important. Between devotees, yes, that is very important. And even between devotees, ideally if it is between devotees of equal mentality, that is still more relishable. Rupa Goswami, when he in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, when he talks about the five kinds of five most potent limbs of devotional service. What are the five? Chanting, association of devotees, Bhagavatam, Dham, and Archa Vigraha Seva, Archanam. So in that, he clarifies what it is. When talking about association with devotees, he says, Sajatiya Ashaye Snigde Sadhu Sangha Svato Vare. He doesn't say association of devotees. He says, Sajatiya Ashaye. It must be like-minded. Because when he says, bhakti can be practiced ekanga or anekanga. One can predominantly practice one anga and perfect bhakti, or one may practice a few angas, few prominent angas and perfect bhakti. And then he says, why do some people get a taste for one anga more than the other anga? He says, swavasana anusarena. Because of the impressions. Vasana here means impressions, devotional impressions. Whomever is the devotee, he came in touch and got inspired, he got appropriate impressions. And those impressions added over, and he developed a particular taste in a particular limb. Therefore, when he finds another devotee who also relishes the same limb, then there is very favorable association. So, Sajatiya Ashaye, he says, Snigde. Okay, people may be Sajatiya Ashaye, but there must be Snigde, which means Sneha Sambandha. Like yesterday, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning, Sneha refers to ghee in Sanskrit. The nature of ghee is that it sacrifices its own existence to give light. So the word snigda indicates sacrifice. So which means in that relationship, when there is a lot of sacrifice for each other. Sajatiya Ashaye, Snigde, and Vare. Vare means it must be an elevating association. It's not like two devotees both like the same prasad. And they come together and... Of course, glorification of prasad is also Krishna Katha. But if it is for self-enjoyment, then it's not like a very high-quality Krishna Katha. So, it must be an elevating association also, which means mutually elevating, or at least one person who is willing to hear must hear from a person who is little more elevated, who can give that knowledge. So, Sajatiya Ashaye Snigde Sadhu Sangha Svato Vare. So that is very important. So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning here. He doesn't say discourses on transcendental subject matters between devotees of equal mentality, Prabhupada adds. When there is equal mentality, then the answers are very fruitful and encouraging. If both of us share the same taste, same goal, they relish the same thing. I remember sometimes, I take different classes. Sometimes Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Some of the subject matters are, you can relish the subject matter only when there is lot of churning and discussion. Question and answers, churning and discussion. It's very, very pleasurable because the understanding becomes much more crystallized. So sometimes the group is so good and that a very nice rapport is developed between the speaker and the group. At least there are one or two devotees who ask the perfect relevant question, and then there is a very nice discussion that ensues, and lot of the understanding becomes much more clearer. So sometimes when you get such a group, you purposefully don't speak, elaborate on some points, because you know it will come in the form of questions. You know, it's like very nicely developed. You know, I have observed it in some groups, especially if it's a smaller group. Then it becomes, you know, one or two devotees are there. Then purposefully you don't elaborate on some points, and you know for sure that that is going to come in the form of a discussion. And because many things, when spoken without being prompted, lot of it gets swept away, you know, one cannot retain. So a good teacher, you know, if he has established a good rapport with the students, he will purposefully leave some sections unexplained, or would give less explanation, because when it comes in the form of a question and then when it is explained, the retention is much better. So here Prabhupada is mentioning of the same thing of the speaker and hearer being of equal mentality. Okay, so Maitreya says about Vidura one verse, and in the next verse we will see what Vidura says about Maitreya, which establishes both of them being equal of equal mentality. So Maitreya says about Vidura in the third canto, fifth chapter, 18th verse, he says, Sadhu prishtam tvaya sadho lokan sadhu anugrhinata kirtim vitanvata loke atmano adokshajatmanah. He says, you are adokshajatmanah, your mind is full of topics of the Supreme Lord only. Lokan sadhu anugrhinata, you are showing great mercy to the people. Vidura has asked questions, and Maitreya, before responding, is expressing his gratitude to Vidura for asking such questions, because he has identified something common between the two of them. Lokan sadhu anugrinata, compassion for the living entities of this world. Because he identified that impetus of compassion for asking all these questions, he really expressed his gratitude, you know. You know, I feel really very blessed to be in your association, because I see that the reason why you're asking these questions is because it's inspired by compassion. And then Vidura had mentioned about Maitreya, same thing. Janasya krishnat vimukasya daivad adharma shilasya sudukkitasya anugrahayeha charantinunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. He says, the reason why you move around this whole world, I am feeling inspired to hear from you, not just because you have knowledge, but because you travel over to disseminate this knowledge only because you have compassion to the living entities. I am inspired to question you because the purpose of your disseminating the knowledge is compassion. And Maitreya says, I am inspired to answer your questions because your questions are inspired by compassion towards living entities. So that's like the common thread between the speaker and the hearer. Both want to, both are compassionate towards living entities, and they want to do something to uplift the living entities. Same thing we see, I had something in mind. Okay, so that's something that Prabhupada mentions here, of the hearer and speaker being of the same equal mentality, then it is so much more relishable. But of course, sajatiya ashe automatically happens also. we must just naturally, people of same mentality will come together, birds of the same feather flock together. That would anyway happen. But we have to just be careful that it must be vare, it must be elevating association. And of course, only when there is sneha, one would stick together, discussing things or doing things together. Sneha also, sneha and sajati ashe would naturally happen. But it must be elevating also. That's where we may tend to make mistake, or we may become little lax. So, anyway, so here Maitreya starts answering this question. Maitreya says, Pitari prastite ranyam matu priya chikirshaya tasmin bindu sare vatsid bhagavan kapila kila. Pitari prastite aranyam. So he is starting the story from where he left off. After father Kardama left to the forest to take up to the path of sannyas, Bhagavan Kapila, the Supreme Lord Kapila Dev, tasmin bindusare avatsid, he stayed at Bindusarovar where Kardam Muni's ashram was there. He stayed there. Matuhu priya chikirshaya, with a desire to please his mother. So he wanted to please his mother. So Kapila Dev stays back in Bindusarovar. Prabhupada writes here in the purport, in the absence of the father, it is the duty of the grown son to take charge of his mother and serve her to the best of his ability, so that she will not feel separation from her husband. And it is the duty of the husband to leave home as soon as there is a grown son to take charge of his wife and family affairs. Someone was sharing with me that once in Pune, some brahmachari joined and his father came and he said, see, what you are doing is not supported by the Vedic scriptures. So he should, this is his age for grihastha ashram. So he should be getting married. So why you are keeping him here? You know, let him get married, experience, let him practice devotional service. Then naturally, when the time comes, then he can take up to the renounced order. And which is true, even in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, if you see, the prerequisite for sannyas is he must graduate from the grihastha ashram only. So it is there, and it's followed in proper bona fide in many bona fide sampradayas also. So I heard, it may not be the exact story, you can correct me if I am wrong. What I heard was, Ayasham Prabhu said, till now, whomever parents came, they argued on a sentimental platform. You are the first person to establish the principles of Vedic literature so nicely. So you can please take your son back. So probably the father did not expect such a easy, you know, without effortless, you know, win. But then he said, by the way, how old are you? So he said, I am 55, 56, whatever, I don't know. So he said, the same Vedas also say, panchashordvam vanam vrajeta. After 50, one should give up his family life and go to forest, take up vanaprastha. He said, you can take your son back, let him take care of your wife. We have a vanaprastha ashram also, so you can join. So the father said, you keep my son. So Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that in the absence of the father, it is the duty of the grown-up son to take charge of his mother and serve her to the best of his ability, so that she will not feel separation from her husband. And it is the duty of the husband to leave home as soon as there is a grown son to take charge of his wife and family affairs. That is the Vedic system of household life. One should not remain continually implicated in household affairs up to the time of death. He must leave. Family affairs and the wife may be taken charge of by a grown son. Like that. So then, హీ కంటిన్యూస్, తమాసీనం అకర్మాణం తత్వమార్గాగ్రదర్శనం స్వసుతం దేవహూత్యాహ దాతు సంస్మరతీ వచః. దేవహూతి దాతు వచః సంస్మరతి. దాతు హియర్ ఇస్ బ్రహ్మాజీ రిమంబరింగ్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, బికాస్ బ్రహ్మాజీ హ్యాడ్ ప్రెడిక్టెడ్, ఇఫ్ యూ రిమంబర్ 24 చాప్టర్స్ వర్స్ నెంబర్ 17 and 18, బ్రహ్మాజీ సెడ్, మై డియర్ దేవహూతి, ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు అప్రూట్ కర్మ బై ద మెథడ్స్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన అండ్ వైరాగ్య, విత్ గోల్డెన్ హెయిర్ లోటస్ ఐస్ అండ్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ మార్క్డ్ విత్ ద లోటస్, ద లార్డ్ ద కిల్లర్ ఆఫ్ ద డీమన్ కైటబ ఎంటరింగ్ యువర్ వూమ్ విల్ ట్రావెల్ ఓవర్ ద వరల్డ్ కటింగ్ ద నాట్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ అండ్ ఫాల్స్ నాలెడ్జ్. సో బ్రహ్మాజీ హ్యాడ్ ప్రిడిక్టెడ్ దట్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ వుడ్ అపియర్ యాస్ యువర్ సన్. సో షీ రిమంబర్డ్ ది వర్డ్స్, సో షీ అండర్స్టూడ్ హూ దట్ పర్సనాలిటీ వాస్, కపిలదేవ్ వాస్. తమ్ స్వసుతం ఆహ, షీ స్పోక్ టు హర్ సన్. అకర్మాణం, హూ వాజ్ బియాండ్ ఆల్ యాక్షన్స్. కృష్ణ హింసెల్ సేస్, నమే పార్థాస్తి కర్తవ్యం త్రిషు లోకేషు కింతన నానవాప్తం అవాప్తవ్యం వర్త ఏవచ కర్మణి. సో ఈ సేస్ దట్ నమే పార్థాస్తి కర్తవ్యం, మై డియర్ అర్జున, ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ డ్యూటీస్. త్రిషు లోకేషు ఇన్ ద త్రీ వరల్డ్స్. సో బికాస్ హీ డజన్, ద లార్డ్ సేస్ బికాస్ ఐ డు నాట్ డిజైర్ ద ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ మై యాక్టివిటీస్ ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ డ్యూటీ. బట్ ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ దట్స్ ద లార్డ్ స్పీకింగ్ టు establish the right understanding for other people. Even if the Supreme Lord may have some desire for the fruits of his activities, still one cannot say that he has some prescribed duties now, because he is the one who prescribes everyone else's duties. Krishna says chaturvarnyam maya srishtam, I only created the varnashram system, so I designate what is the prescribed duties of everyone. Of course, the Supreme Lord does not have a desire to enjoy the fruits of any of his activities. But even otherwise, because he is the one who creates the prescribed duties of all varanas and ashramas, he himself does not have to follow it. Akarmanam, asinam, who was seated beyond all actions. Tattva marga agradarshanam, and who could show the conclusion of the path of knowledge. So he was sitting there and he was going to address his, oh, Mother Devahuti is going to address Kapila Dev now. Okay, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.